Presenting next will be Heather Dose on persistence, effectiveness, and the ineffectiveness and effectiveness of Bradyrhizobium japonicum in soybeans. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. Again, my name is Heather Dose, and I'd like to welcome you all for attending today's session. So what is one thing that producers like about growing soybeans in a rotation? Anyone? Yes, someone said nitrogen fixation. So in addition to historically high economic prices, producers, when they grow soybeans in their crop rotation, they can receive a nitrogen credit for following crops. So, biological nitrogen fixation in soybeans is done through both Bradyrhizobium japonicum or Bradyrhizobium elkani. Now, in the north central region in the northern Great Plains, this is primarily the Bradyrhizobium japonicum. Now, in order for these bacteria to fix nitrogen within the soybeans, they actually have to get into the nodules. So this is a very intricate and very delicate signaling system between the soybeans and the Bradyrhizobium. So the soybean will emit isoflavones from its roots, which turns on a series of nodulation genes in the Bradyrhizobium japonicum. Now the NOD-Z gene is very specific between the Bradyrhizobium and the soybean. And so the ability to form these nodules is known as effectiveness. Now once the Bradyrhizobium are within the nodule, they can begin to fix nitrogen. And this is done through the nitrogenase enzyme. Now, there are a series of genes that produce or that are used in the production of the nitrogenase enzyme, and one of those is the NIFH gene. So the ability to actually fix atmospheric nitrogen is termed effectiveness. Now, once you have inoculant and your nodules formed, you can get between 25 and 75% of your plant nitrogen needs through biological nitrogen fixation. And once that nitrogen has been fixed within the soybean nodules, it is transported to the above-ground plant parts as a ureaide nitrogen compound. Now, typically, the inoculant is placed with the seed at the time of planting. However, some of these populations can remain from previous inoculating episodes. What has been found is there can become some genetic diversity within these residual rhizobium populations. So they can be highly ineffective at forming nodules, but they may be less effective at fixing nitrogen. We also know that the way you manage your soil and your crops can also impact the persistence of these inoculant populations. And so we want to know what are some best management practices that a producer can adapt that can promote the greatest levels of biological nitrogen fixation in soybeans. So my hypothesis of this research was if crop management can influence these Bradyrhizobium population dynamics, then these same management factors will also impact biological nitrogen fixation. So in order to explore this hypothesis, I had three different objectives. The first one was to determine the persistence of this inoculant, the Bradyrhizobia, under various crop rotations, under different tillage treatments, and also under different nitrogen fertilizer managements. Secondly, I needed to determine the infectiveness, so the ability to actually form nodules, and then third, look at the effectiveness, so the ability to actually fix nitrogen. So in order to do this, I was very fortunate to have access to a long-term research study located in Carrington, North Dakota. So it's about a 7-hour drive from where we are right here. And this study was initiated in 1987. And it is a randomized complete block design with a split plot arrangement. That's a mouthful. So our whole plots consist of a 4-year crop rotation. It's a spring wheat, followed by field pea, followed by corn, and then followed by soybeans. And this is replicated 3 times. So each crop in the rotation is present during every single growing season. The subplot was tillage treatment. So I have a conventional moldboard plow treatment and additionally a no-till treatment. And then finally, the subplots were the fertilizer management. It consisted of a no-nitrogen treatment, so no nitrogen applied during any of the crops in the rotation. 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, that was applied only during the wheat and the corn phases of the rotation. And then also a 56 kilogram per of nitrogen per hectare applied as composted manure. Now, this was applied once during the rotation prior to wheat planting. So in order to test my hypothesis, I ended up sampling soils from the 0 to 15 and 15 to 30 centimeter depths. I extracted the DNA from the soil using a Mobio soil extraction kit, and I used the quantitative polymerase chain reaction, or qPCR, to quantify the number of genes. Now, I looked at the NODZ genes. Again, these were specific for the Bradyrhizobium japonicum. And I did this four times during the season. So at pre-plant, at the soybean 2 to 4 vegetative growth stage, at the 6 to 8 vegetative growth stage, and then finally at harvest. In addition to that, at the 2 to 4 and 6 to 8 growth stages, I collected whole plants. I took the above-ground plant parts, and I calculated or measured the ureid nitrogen content within the plants, and I also removed the nodules. And I divided the nodules between taproot and lateral root, with the idea that the taproot nodules were primarily formed by the inoculum, with the lateral roots being primarily formed from these residual previously inoculated populations. So these nodules were removed, they were counted, they were weighed. I extracted both the DNA and the mRNA. So with the DNA, I looked for the NODZ gene to get an idea of how many of these individual bacteria are within the nodules. Now I use the mRNA, so this is the activity that is actually actively being transcribed, which should correlate to the amount of nitrogenase that is being produced within the nodule. So I use qPCR with the NIFH nitrogen fixing gene on that. So using SAS-PROC mixed, if we look at the persistence of the nodules, okay, there. Can everybody see that mouse? Okay. What we see is the greatest amount of this rhizobium in the soil after soybean harvest. Interestingly, I would have thought that slightly after inoculation, we would have actually seen a peak because we're adding more organisms into the soil. However, that was not the case. It took until our soybean harvest and the following spring to actually see our peak in the Bradyrhizobium japonicum. And as we move further away from our inoculation time, we can see that the populations do decrease. Now, if we stopped growing soybean altogether, the likelihood would be that we would still have Bradyrhizobium japonicum in the soil, because other studies have shown that without soybean, they can persist for 20 to 50 years in the soil. So although we do see a decline, there are still plenty of inoculant to form nodules. Now, if we look at the nitrogen fertilizer management, I thought this was really interesting. Manure is applied only once in this four-year crop rotation, but we end up having the highest amounts of inoculant harbored in these manure treatments. In addition to adding nitrogen, the manure adds organic matter. And the Bradyrhizobium japonicum are able to live in the saprophytic life stage. They don't need a host, so they can live off the organic matter. Now, if we look at the infectiveness, this is just at the two soybean vegetative growth stages, looking at both the average number of nodules per plant and the weight of them, we see something that we would expect. The larger the plant, the more time it's had to grow, the more nodules that you're going to find. But what I found really interesting is that at the later growth stages, you actually had more numerous nodules in the lateral roots. Now, if you look at the weight of them, in the later growth stages, those taproot nodules are still larger, and the lateral root nodules, on average, are much smaller, although they are more numerous. Now, if we look at the effectiveness, so again, this is the actual nitrogen-fixing ability and action of the nodules. What we see is kind of a little bit more interesting. Looking at the growth stages, so that is this graph up here, if we look at the log of the mRNA NIFH, so nitrogenase gene copies, what we see is at early stages, the taproot nodules have greater copies of the mRNA. But the reverse is true at later growth stages. Those lateral nodules, again, although they're smaller but more numerous, they contain more copies of the nitrogenase gene. Now, if we look at our fertilizer here, along with persistence being greater under the manure, we also have potentially greater activity of nitrogen fixation under manure treatments. Now, why is that? Again, in addition to organic matter and nitrogen that's being added into the soil, manure has a lot of phosphorus. And phosphorus is needed in large quantities inside these nodules for phosphorylation and actual activity. Biochemically, it's very important to have phosphorus. So that could potentially be why this manure is such a great option for promoting biological nitrogen fixation. And then if we look at the percent nitrogen obtained for biological nitrogen fixation, this would be the ureide, the plant ureide nitrogen content, the ratio of the ureides to ureide plus nitrate in the soil. What we see is conventional tillage, we have much greater biological nitrogen fixation during both time points, during early season and more mid-season growth compared to the conventional tillage. Okay, so these graphs get a little confusing, and I'm really sorry. On the x-axis, this is the percent nitrogen obtained from biological fixation. The top, this would be your left graph. This is the amount of soil nitrogen and ammonium in the soil. What we do find is there are negative relationships, so the more available nitrogen in the soil, the less biological nitrogen fixation will take place. Not surprising, just wanted to show that. Now, if we look at the nodule counts, the more nodules you have on your lateral roots, the more biological nitrogen fixation there is. However, the R-squared correlation is still relatively low. It's only explaining about 30-some percent. So it's roughly or pretty close to the amount of variation in biological nitrogen explained from soil ammonium. Now, if we look at the number of NODZ gene copies, that's down in this graph. So this is the number of potential organisms inside the nodules. The more organisms that are in the taproot, the greater the potential nitrogen fixation. However, that's the opposite case when we look at the mRNA of the NIFH gene. The taproot nodules, as they get larger, they're actually reducing their amount of potential nitrogen fixation, where the lateral root nodules, they remain smaller, but they're more numerous, but they actually have a positive correlation with biological nitrogen fixation. So overall, what did we find? Tillage and nitrogen availability had the greatest effect on our biological nitrogen fixation. Conventional till is potentially more relying on biological nitrogen fixation. In North Dakota, where this study takes place, we get about a 50 pound per nitrogen crop credit if you are in a no-till system. And the thought is that there's more organic matter, there's different nitrogen mineralization rates that could be potentially lowering the biological nitrogen fixation. Again, the persistence of these organisms is related to the organic matter. So when we add manure, additional organic matter, they're able to live in the saprophytic stage. And then also, inoculant seems to be incredibly important for that early season biological nitrogen fixation, but as you move more to the mid-season and late season, that inoculant may not be as important because we start to see what we consider to be the residual populations becoming more important in that fixation. So in conclusion, if I were to make best management recommendations for producers, I would say that if you're in a conventional system, go ahead and inoculate every single year. It doesn't cost you much. But if you're in a no-till system, you might be able to get away with inoculating maybe every other time that you grow your soybeans just because there's more organic matter in the soil that can persist longer. And also manure, if you have it available for you, it's a very excellent source of not only nitrogen, organic matter, but that phosphorus that can really improve your biological nitrogen fixation. So where it's available, excellent choice for crop rotations with soybeans. Now, future work would be genotyping by sequence of the nodules, figuring out who's who that lives in the nodules, and can we say this is this year's inoculant or previous inoculant. And so with that, I would like to acknowledge my funding sources, including the North Dakota Soybean Council, the North Dakota State Board of Agricultural Research and Extension, and then the North Dakota Experiment Station Fellowship. So there's time for any questions.
One question.
Time for one. Yep, Sean.
So did you get a yield response from adding rhizobia? Is there a yield response to the roots?
The rhizobia is added continuously.
Right, but did you get for the ones that were not treated with rhizobia?
We did not have a non-rhizobia check. But what we did find is, I believe it was the no-till had slightly higher levels of yield, but oil content was similar across. So it's a little bit difficult because even if we would have had a no rhizobium inoculant check, is there enough persistent population in the soil to have caused basically an effect of inoculation? That likely. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz.